Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. And once again, I say unto my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say, thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the Old King James Version of the Bible. And as I welcome you all to this episode tonight, I stay excited, more especially because we're in the book of Job, and the book of Job has so much to offer in our instruction to get us through what confronts us this side of eternity. Now, I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, your laptops, your tablets, Bible apps, or regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Another reminder, every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, during which time you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you like. The host has graciously set up a chat room for that purpose. Now, before we get started, as I always intentionally do, is take this time to thank those of you who have taken the time to give me feedback on this particular show. The comments and the advice that you're giving me, my precious brothers and sisters, I am using. So I thank you so very much. Keep them coming. Now, our theme song for the show suggests, as it always does, this is the question for the hour. Are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? Jesus said, whosoever hears my sayings and does them, I liken him to a wise man that has built his house on a rock. But he that does not, a foolish man that builds his house on sand. That's taken from Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. So you know the blessing is the wisdom of Jesus Christ. But you have to obey his commandments in order to receive it. Jesus said again, these things have I spoken to you, that in you, you might have peace. In the world, you shall have tribulations. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He said this in John chapter 16, verse 33. Again, the promise is that you will overcome as Jesus did, regardless of what is confronting you, but you must keep his commandments. Again, Jesus said, these things have I spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, that your joy may be full. This is taken from John chapter 15, verse 11. Again, the promise is that your joy will be full of Jesus' joy if you keep his words. A question again, my brothers and sisters, that I'm asking you out there. Listen, are you keeping Jesus' promises? Now, let's go to the study. And before we actually get started, I want to remind you, this is a rehearsal. I think this is so essential that we know that the Bible is written in code, meaning written in mysteries and secrets, in parables, in prophecies, in proverbs, in paradoxes, in riddles, and in symbols. And the only way to break this code is through study and learning. My brothers and sisters, why are we here this evening? To study and learn together. Okay, let's get to the study. Turn your Bible sources with me to Job. Job chapter 10, we're going to be reading several verses, verse 2, verse 7 through 9, and verse 13. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read these verses to you. God has mercy upon whom he will have mercy. My brothers and sisters, that is critical to note, that God is the one that issues mercy and grace. They are gifts from God, and no one can receive them unless God alone gives them. God said this to Moses when he went up to Mount Sinai and to receive the tablets the second time. As God passed by him when he was on the mount in Exodus chapter 33, I believe, God told Moses, I will be merciful to whom I will be merciful, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. Now what we're going to do is we're going to hear how Job identified this to Bildad as he was being confronted by Bildad, who was trying to convict Job and convince Job that he was a sinner. Listen to what Job told Bildad, verse 2. I will say unto God, do not condemn me. Show me wherefore thou condemnest with me, or contendest with me. And then verse 7 through 9 continues, thou knowest that I am not wicked, and there is none that can deliver out of thy hand. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me together round about. Yet thou dost destroy me. Remember, I beseech thee, that thou hast made me as the clay, and wilt thou bring me into the dust again? And then completing the thought is verse 13. This is what Job had to say. And all these things hast thou hid in thy heart. I know that that this is with thee. So Job is showing that he is asking God to have mercy upon him. Now what we're going to do, amplify this, we're going to go to Psalms 103, and we're going to look at what King David had to say about this in Psalms 103, verse 8 through 13. Listen to what Psalms 103, verse 18 has to say about this. David says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He has dealt with us after our sins, not rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, far has he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. And in verse 17 and 18, he concludes the thought. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto the children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. My precious brothers and sisters, you can see that David is telling us that mercy is with the Lord. And the way to plead for that mercy is to keep his commandments and his covenants. Okay, we're going to go to the New Testament complement, and we're going to compare and agree and see what Paul taught the Romans about this. But I see we're at the first break. Let's take that break, and then we'll continue with the lesson.
You will never succeed more than you fail. That's not how it works. You know why? Because failure is a wonderful teacher. It's the only way to learn. You have to fail. Michael Jordan, the greatest basketball player in the world, he took 946 game-winning shots. He has only made 146 of those. He has missed over 700 times, but he has made 146. You know what they write about? When you make it. They write about when you make it. So guess what? When you get through failing, 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 all you got to do is make one. Matter of fact, when you fail, be glad about it. Every time you fail, you're one step closer. Every time you fail, say, whew, got that out the way. Go to the next one. Fail again? Okay, I got two out the way. What's going to happen is if you just keep swinging, you're going to get a hit.
Do not fear failure, but please be terrified of regret, as giving up is the birth of regret. You will receive 100 doors slammed in your face. You will have 100 moments that will be filled with someone telling you no. But what I ask of you today is to not take no for an answer. Don't be afraid of no's. Be afraid of the possibility of a yes that you have prematurely destroyed because you decided to quit before the clock strikes 12. I love a good no. Please tell me no. Telling me no is like adding fuel to a fire that is now set ablaze because of your single no. I love additional reasons to work harder. Please give me a reason.
You better go inside. You still looking outside for the stuff that's already inside. You still looking for someone to save you when you already your superhero. You looking for some information from somebody when you already got what you need in your head. It's just time for you to get up and be the best version of you. I challenge you to challenge yourself. I challenge you to stop thinking that where you are is enough. I challenge you to go beyond hurt. I challenge you to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. I challenge you. And the problem with some of you in this room, you will never be great because every time you go through pain, every time you go through a problem, every time you go through discouragement, you give up and you quit and you do not understand that at the end of pain is your million. At the end of pain is your reward. At the end of pain is your productivity. At the end of pain is your promise. So do me a favor, stop crying about it and use your energy to get through it. That's what lions do. And if you are a true lion, it does not make a difference what the circumstance is. Lions don't cry. Lions don't give up. Lions don't quit. Lions hunt. We turn tragedy into triumph. That's what we do for a living.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay,
roar
my
like a lion, Hallelujah, Pete.
Hallelujah.
Roar
I'm
like,
telling you, you got to be careful.
Like a lion.
Yes, and don't get devoured out there, my precious brothers and sisters. You keep the basic principles before leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible, then you do not go astray. If you go out there on your own, just like the sons of Sceva, they were destroyed. So be careful with that. Anyway, let us continue with this lesson. And we're talking about the mercy of God, which is the one who gives us what we will receive. It's through his mercy and grace that we exist and do as we do. So we read about what Job said about that, and we read about what King David said. Now listen to what Paul tells the Romans concerning this too. Turn your Bible sources with me to Romans chapter 9, verse 13, and we're going to look at verse 13 through 18, and this is what Paul told the Romans. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him that willeth. You hear that, my brothers and sisters? It's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. So if God is not giving you what you're seeking, you will not receive it. For the scripture says unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and he will be hardened on whom he will be hardened. And it concludes with, thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he that find fault? For who hath resisted his will? My brothers and sisters, this is what this should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that God's mercy endureth forever, and that he is our number one asset, and it's with God. He will determine who we will become and how far we will go with that this side of eternity. Okay, that's what I want you to understand from this particular instruction. Let's turn back now. We're going to go back to Job. We're going to look at Job chapter 10 again. We're going to see where Job again counteracts what Bildad said to him, trying to convict him of sin. We're going to look at Job chapter 10, verse 14 through 19 or 17. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind, my precious brothers and sisters, as I read the instruction to you, or the text to you. I want you to keep this in mind. Sin is held accountable by God. That is something that we have to understand. Even though Jesus Christ came and died for our sins, he did not die for the punishment that we receive for acting out the sin. In other words, when God chastens you, when he disciplines you, when he chastises you, he could even punish you because of what sin you have committed. We know that if you're in Christ, the sin has been forgiven. But the punishment for the sin is still applied. And if you can't understand that, that's something that you have to realize, that, again, the first instruction we went through, God will have mercy upon whom he will have mercy. He will be gracious to whom he will be gracious. And God determined that he would punish Adam and Eve for sinning. But, of course, he saved them through the blood of Jesus. And that's where I'll leave that, and we'll go to the text now. Sin is held accountable by God. This is what I want you to get from this. This is what Job told Bildad. Job said in verse 14, if I sin, then thou makest me, or thou markest me, and thou wilt not acquit me from my iniquity. If I be wicked, woe unto me, and if I be righteous, yet will I not be lifting up my head. I am full of confusion. Therefore, see thou my affliction. 4, it increaseth. Thou huntest me as a fierce lion, and again thou showest thyself marvelous unto me. Thou renewest thy witnesses against me, and increaseth thy indignation upon me. Changes and war are against me. Again, my precious brothers and sisters, we are held accountable for our sins. And the accountability is, you might say, a purging. And the purging comes with discipline and pain. Now let's go to Romans, and we're going to go to Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel, and we're going to see how the prophet Ezekiel actually substantiates in his prophecy what Job just retorted to Bildad. This is what Ezekiel says in Ezekiel chapter 18. He says it in several verses. Listen to all of this, my brothers and sisters. Verse 1 says, the word of the Lord came unto me again, saying, in verse 4 and 5, behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. But if a man be just and do what which is lawful and right, then verse 20 continues the thought, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father, neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. And then verse 30 through verse 32 completes the thought of what Ezekiel is prophesying. Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye. And that's what Jesus brings with grace. He brings repentance. But even though we are repentant, we're still held accountable for those sins. And that's what I want to stress, my precious brothers and sisters. We do not get away with that. Now, whether God determines to completely take us off the face of the earth because of it, that may be his will. And that is what mercy and grace draws from. Listen to what, again, Paul told the Romans in Romans chapter 6, verse 1 through 7, about this. Romans chapter 6, verse 1 through 7, this is what Paul said concerning it. What shall I say then? Shall we commit it? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer in it? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus? I see we're at the second break. Let's take that break, and then we'll complete this.
No found grace in the eyes of the Lord. No found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That is the reason the scriptures record. No found grace in the eyes of the Lord. No found.
For somebody going through tough times, for somebody struggling just to keep your head above water, you're trying, but things don't seem to be quite working out the way you planned. You thought you'd be in a different place at this season in your life, but you're still suffering.
You have no say-so in what happens to you, but you have a say-so in what you do about it. You have a determining voice into where your life can go. See, life is 10% what happens to you. It's 90% what you do about it. You get a setback. You get thrown off course. You lost your mama. That's dirt. But show me something that has grown into something beautiful that didn't have no dirt on it. You need dirt on you to develop, because dirt ain't just dirt. Dirt is fertilizer. Dirt is nutrient. Dirt gives you the strength for your seed to push through. You got to have dirt on you to push through something. Everything you see that's beautiful starts out as a seed, but that seed got to get dirt on it. You got to have dirt on you to grow into what life got for you.
The only thing I want from you is that every single day, when uncertainty creeps in, I need you to get up and I need you to go heavy on it. In the midst of opposition, in the midst of challenges, in the midst of adversity, when you taste a little bit of blood and something happens that you didn't expect to happen, I need you to go heavy on it.
You gotta be willing to go after your hiccups. You gotta be willing to go after whatever has got your name on it. Sometimes you gotta fight your way over. Sometimes you gotta fight your way through. Sometimes you gotta look in the mirror and say, listen, I ain't got nobody else to encourage us right now. It's just me and you. But I'm telling you, you're the head and not the tail. And I'm fighting for me, or my house, or my children, or my brothers, or my sister, or my husband, or my vision, or my dream. I'm gonna stand right here, and I ain't giving up my children. I'm not giving up my money. No, stand. You can't keep quitting your whole life. You can't keep backing up, and you can't keep fainting, taking 2 steps forward and 3 steps back. After a while, there ought to be something in our life that we stand through. Sicknesses that you stood through, struggles that you stood through, weaknesses that you stood through, crises that you stood through, pressures that you stood through. That is where character is developed. That's what defines.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's continue with this instruction. Sin is held accountable by God, and this is what we want to realize, the significance of sinning, okay? And so the Romans were taught by Paul this lesson in Romans chapter 6, verse 1 through 7. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we had been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. And he completes the thought in verse 23 when he says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So my precious brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ is compulsory to the removal of sin in your life. And that is not the sin that you are committing because of the handicap that you have because of the knowledge of good and evil. It is saving the soul from eternal damnation. Jesus did not come to save the flesh. The flesh is going to suffer and die. And it's going to feel the pain of what it is suffering because of its iniquity. But the soul can be cleansed and is cleansed if you accept Jesus through the blood of the cross, and you will receive salvation. Listen to what this is what I'm trying to tell you spiritually. This is what it's saying, that God will judge the quick and the dead. And that's, I'm saying, the righteous and the unrighteous. You're only made righteous through Jesus Christ. The rest are unrighteous. And unfortunately, they are subject to condemnation eternally. Let's go now to the next instruction. Turn your Bible sources back with me to Job. We're going to look at Job chapter 11 this time. And in Job chapter 11, Zophar, the Naamathite, is criticizing Job for what his three friends consider his behavior being sinful. Listen to what he says, and it's in Job chapter 11 7 through 10. And then I want you to keep instruction in mind, because this is what I'm trying to teach. God is past finding out. My precious brothers and sisters, you have to realize that God is omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, ubiquitous. He is all in all. And we are trapped within this flesh and body. So it's no way in the world we can find God out, because what God is more than the entrapment that we are suffering from in this experience. And the only reason is because of sin. Listen to what Zophar said to Job in verse 7 through 10. Canst thou by finding out, canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? Is it as high as heaven? What canst thou do? Deeper than hell, what canst thou know? The measure thereof is longer than the earth, and the broader than the sea. If he cut off and shut up or gather together, then who can hindereth him? My precious brothers and sisters, this is critical to know. This is critical to know that what Zophar has said is true. The thing is, Zophar himself cannot understand God. And saying this to criticize Job was in error. And we'll find that out later on in our study. But right now, what we're going to do is we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55, and Isaiah is going to prophesy some of what Zophar said in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6 through 8. Listen to what the prophet said. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Did you hear that, my precious brothers and sisters? Because my thoughts, God is saying, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord God Almighty. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. That is critical to note, my brothers and sisters. The reason being is because God is the creator and we are the creatures. And we must follow basic instructions before leaving earth, B-I-B-L-E, to understand the extent of what we can do and how we should do it. And this is what Paul has to say to the Corinthians concerning this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Turn with me your Bible sources of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 11 through 16 of the apostle Paul said to the Corinthians. Verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritually judges all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord God, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Again, what we're being taught here by Paul is that we don't know what God is going to do with our lives, but we do know that we have to follow his commandments in order to achieve whatever that is. And that is what Paul is telling us here. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. It should mean that God is omniscient, all-knowing. We are not. We must not contend with God, but submit to him to be saved. And that is what's critical. And we get lost in vanity, in worldliness, because we don't understand that God is here to save the spirit, not the flesh. In fact, Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and the rest he will add to you. He will give you what you need to get through this life physically so you can be saved spiritually through the blood of Jesus. I see we reached another break. Let's take this break, and then we'll return to the lesson.
You will never succeed. You will never succeed more than you fail. That's not how it works. You know why? Because failure is a...
Testify. Testifiers, let us pray. Loving God, I pray that you will comfort me in my suffering. Lend skill to the hands of my healers, and bless the means used for my cure. give me such confidence in the power of your grace that even when I'm afraid, I put my whole trust in you. Be near me in my time of weakness and pain. Sustain me by your grace, that my strength and courage may not fail. Heal me according to your will, and help me always to believe that what happens to me here is of little account if you hold me in eternal life. Lord, look upon me with eyes of mercy. May your healing hand rest upon me. May your life-giving powers flow into every cell of my body and into the depths of my soul. Lord, I ask that you cleanse me, purify me, restore me to wholeness and strength for your service in your kingdom. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Today, walk in faith and trust God's timing. God bless you.
Program Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here's our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, here we go. We're on the next instruction. We're going to go back to Job chapter 11. We're going to hear some more of what Zophar is trying to convict Job of in chapter 11, verse 10, 12, 13, and a few other verses. But this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as we read the text. God knows our iniquity. That is where we can run, but we cannot hide. And that's why we need to have the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from our sins. Because without Jesus Christ, we would be ruined forever. And God knows that. And this is what Zophar said concerning that in chapter 11, verse 9, listen to what he said. He said, the measure thereof is longer than the earth and the broader than the sea. If he cuts off and shuts up or gathers together, then who can hinder him? Verse 12, for vain men could be wise, though man be born like a wild ass colt. If thou prepare thy heart, and stretch out thy hand toward him, then verse 16, because thou shalt forget thy misery and remember it as water that pass away, then we're going to continue through that through 21, completing the thought, for thine age shall be clearer than the noonday. Thou shalt shine forth, thou shalt be as the morning, and thou shalt be secure, because there is hope. Yea, thou shalt dig about thee, and thou shalt thy rest in safety. Also, thou shalt lie down, and none shall make thee afraid. Yea, many shall make suit unto thee, but the eyes of the wicked shall fail, and they shall not escape, and their hope shall be as the giving up of the goat. Now listen, Zophar definitely gave good advice to Job, but because God is omniscient and all-powerful and all-knowing and in control, Zophar was in left field, depicting Job or trying to convince Job of unrighteousness. So now we're going to go to Psalms 139, verse 1 through 10. Turn there with me, and we're going to see how the psalmist King David instructed Israel concerning God's all over empowering control over man and life. Listen to what King David said in Psalms 139, verse 1 through 10. He said, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts from afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend into the heavens, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. My brothers and sisters, what is King David saying? That God is in control. We know that in the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews, it tells us that the author and finisher of our faith is Jesus Christ. So we cannot overcome what God has done and is doing in our lives. He knows our faults. And the thing is that we must be repentant. That's what Jesus brought to the table with his death, repentance. We must ask for forgiveness of what we are doing wrong in order to reconcile ourselves with the Lord God Almighty. So now we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 8. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 8. And in Hebrews chapter 8, we're going to see verse 8 through 13, where the Hebrew writer again gives us the understanding that God knows all our iniquities. And this is what the Hebrew writer says. And here men that die receive tithes, but there is he receiveth them, of whom is it witness that he liveth. And I'm looking at chapter 8, and I'm sorry I was not reading chapter 8. So now we'll read chapter 8, verse 8. It says, For finding fault with them, he saith, Behold, the day comes, saith the Lord God Almighty, which I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he saith, A new covenant he hath made, the old, the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. My precious brothers and sisters, what is that saying? That is saying that God knows our iniquity. He knows we can't overcome that iniquity. So the new covenant had to be established. And that new covenant, my brothers and sisters, is Jesus Christ. Okay, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. That God, again, is omniscient, all knowledgeable, and knows all things, both good and evil. There is no restricting God of his knowledge. In fact, the Hebrew writer continues to say that the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing to the depths of the spirit and the marrow of the bones, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And all creatures cannot hide from him, but all are naked before him of whom we have to do. My brothers and sisters, that's telling us that God is one that controls all things, and we must respond to him. So that's what I want you to understand from this instruction, that our only reprieve is through Jesus Christ. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn your Bible sources back with me to Job chapter 11. Again, we're going to hear from Zophar and see how he is trying to convict Job of sin. We're going to be looking at verse 13 through 15. And what I want you to do in chapter 11 is, as I read the text to you, I want you to keep in mind this lesson. This is the instruction. Turn to God for help. My brothers and sisters, that's what we've been talking about all night. Turn to God for help. And that help is through Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay, this is what Zophar said. And I see we're at our last pause for tonight. Let's take that break, and then we'll continue with the rest of the lesson.
Realities is the fact that there are always people around us who are fault finders. Those who seldom see the great or the good, but are quick to point out the negative. During his presidency, Abraham Lincoln was a man greatly respected, greatly reviled also. Blamed for plunging the nation into war, he was the president people loved to hate. Those who opposed his views regarding the war and slavery, as well as his efforts to keep the nation united, were vocal and uninhibited in denouncing him. In fact, one day during the darkest days in the Civil War and of his presidency, it was said that Lincoln was walking down a street near the Capitol in Washington when an acquaintance caught up with him. As they walked, the man brought up the subject of the growing anti-Lincoln sentiments flowing in Washington, as well as throughout the country. And with brutal honesty, the man related to Lincoln many of these stories outlining attacks on Lincoln and his policies. As the man spoke, Lincoln remained completely silent, absorbed in his own thoughts. Well, finally, the exasperated man asked, "Mr. Lincoln, haven't you heard me? Are you listening to me?" Well, Lincoln stopped, looked directly at him, and said, "Yes, I've heard you. But let me tell you a story. You know that during the time of the full moon, it's the habit of all the dogs to come out at night and bark and bark and bark at the moon. And this keeps on as long as the moon is clearly visible in the sky." At that point, Mr. Lincoln stopped speaking and continued his walk. Well, confused by Lincoln's response, his exasperated companion persisted, "Mr. Lincoln, you haven't finished your story. Tell me the rest of it." Well, once again, Lincoln stopped walking and said, "There's nothing more to tell. The moon keeps right on shining, no matter how many dogs are barking or how loudly." So once again, Lincoln was a great role model for managing criticism. And he certainly was aware of his shortcomings. He knew that many highly respected, influential people disagreed with him. In fact, one of the highest members of his cabinet said to a friend of his one time, "Abraham Lincoln is a fool." Well, somebody told Lincoln about that, and the president stopped and thought for a moment again, and he said, "Well, he must be right, because I respected that man and still do. He's a great statesman. I must be a fool." How many of us would get to
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we'll continue with this lesson. We're looking at Job chapter 11, and we're going to start with verse 13 through 15. And this is the key to what Zophar is saying, or at least this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as we hear what Zophar has to tell Job. Turn to God for help. My precious brothers and sisters, that is the answer, the only answer. We can't turn to each other but so far. Now, we understand that there are physical needs, that we are dependent upon each other for that. And God has already identified that in basic instructions before leaving Earth. But the critical is the internal health, the health that gives you the wisdom, the wherewithal to overcome whatever it is that is coming before you. And that comes from God alone. Now, this is what Zophar had to say. If thou preparest thy heart and stretch out thy hand toward him, if iniquity be in thy hand, put it far away, and not let wickedness dwell in thy tabernacle. For then shalt thou lift up thy face without spot. Yea, thou shalt be steadfast and shalt not fear. My brothers and sisters, this is correct. If you are relying on God, this is absolutely correct. But see, Job's cohorts were not relying on God. They were saying what they thought rationally God would do. But of course, we know God is irrational. So he, as this lesson began, God will be merciful to whom he will be merciful. He will be gracious to whom he will be gracious. Listen to what he did with Joshua. And this is to expand upon what I just mentioned. This is Joshua chapter 1, verse 5 through 9. Turn your Bible sources with me to Joshua chapter 5. Chapter 1, Joshua chapter 1, verse 5 through 9. Listen to what Joshua was told. There shall not any man be able to stand between thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. This is God speaking, and this is speaking to us today. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swore unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou may observe to do according to all of the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left hand, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. My precious brothers and sisters, we turn to God for help. We know what happens when you do not turn from God to God for help. Despondency enters. And after despondency takes its place, there is suicide. So this is critical to know, my brothers and sisters. Now let's go to the New Testament, and we're going to look at the compliment, the New Testament compliment. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 11, Matthew chapter 11, verse 27 through 30, and listen to what Jesus has to say concerning this. And this is why it's critical to note that Jesus has now received all power from God in heaven and in earth. This is what Jesus has to say. All things are delivered unto me by my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Not your flesh, my brothers and sisters, but to your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So we can see what Jesus is telling us today, that we turn to him. God in the flesh is Jesus Christ, and he will give us what we need in order to overcome and be successful this side of eternity for God's sake, not for the world's sake, for God's sake. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that God is our first and major refuge or help in time of need than anyone else. Simple as that, my brothers and sisters. God is the answer. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn your Bible sources back with me. Job chapter 12, We're going to look at Job chapter 12. And in Job chapter 12, Job is answering Zophar. This is Job chapter 12. And Job is, and this is the instruction that I'm looking at. The vastness of God explained. Now we know, again, we're talking about omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence. We're talking about all in all, God is total. And this is what Job had to say about that. We're going to look at verse 9 and 10 to begin with. It says, who knoweth not in all these that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this? In whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind? Again, we're talking about God exclusively. 12 through 14 says, with the ancient is wisdom, and in the length of days understanding. With him is wisdom and strength. He has counsel and understanding. Behold, he breaketh down, and it cannot be built again. He shutteth up a man, and there can be no opening. And verse 16 through 24 completes the thought. With him is strength and wisdom. The deceived and the deceiver are his. He leadeth counselors away spoiled, and maketh the judge to fools. He looseth the bonds of the kings, and girdeth their loins with a girdle. He leadeth princes away spoiled, and overthroweth the mighty. He removeth away the speech of the trusty, and taketh away the understanding of the aged. He poureth contempt upon princes, and weakeneth the strength of the mighty. He discovereth deep things out of darkness, and bringeth out to light the shadow of death. He increaseth the nations, and destroyeth them. He enlargeth the nations and strengtheneth them again. He taketh away the heart of the chief of the people and of the earth, and causeth them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. They grope in the dark without light, and he maketh them to struggle like a drunken man. My brothers and sisters, Job is telling Zophar in response that he knows that God is all in all, and only through God is there salvation. Now, let's go to Romans. Are we going to go to Psalms chapter 19? Because David, the king of Israel, he rehearsed this to the Israelites. Listen to what David had to say. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utterth speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is a bridegroom cometh out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man running a race. He goeth forth in the ends of the heavens, his circuit unto the ends of it. There is nothing hid from the heat thereof. We're learning from King David that God is all in all. And if we go to the New Testament complement, just to verify this, we're going to go to Romans chapter 19. Romans chapter 1, verse 19 through 23. Listen to what Paul told the Romans. Because that which was made known of God is manifest in them, for God had shown it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the image and likeness of corruptible man, to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. My brothers and sisters, that's why we have been punished, because we have changed the vastness of God's into man or worldliness. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that God is our first and major, that God is more than we can ever know, because we are limited with the confines of the body and the flesh. That concludes the lesson for this evening. And as we leave, I would like to, in behalf of the host and I, would like to thank you for your continued support and enthusiasm. Good night.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. BIBLE. We hope you are blessed by our program. Please join us every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for basic instructions before leaving Earth.